Welcome back, folks. Episode something or other of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. On today's show, we got Greg and Michael talking about the biases of the lighting industry. I don't even know how we're going to spell the biases. I think it's just in a little thing after it. But I think it was a good one. Greg and I just chatting it out, trying to figure things out, a little projection for 2019. It's tough after having Ellis Yon on the show. Come on, there's the king. But this episode of the show is brought to you by Highlight Lighting. That's Highlight, HYLITELEDLIGHTING.com. Greg, Highlight LED Lighting.com.
They're a company that is up and coming in the LED lighting industry and someone that I've dealt with personally. But what I like about them is they're innovative. It's very important to be innovative in LED lighting, as we know. And they're some of the first to come out with a lot of the new product that you see other people come out with after the fact. For instance, I think they're one of the first ones I saw with a nice Omni Cob. How many people have a Cob now? Every single company that's in LED. Sure. They were one of the first. So when you're one of the first, you know you've been able to test it and have it in the field long enough that you can trust it. And that's what I really like about what Highlight's doing. They're always coming out with a unique product that is something you can apply to everyday selling in the lighting world. And Highlight does a great job of that. They back it with great service, quality, and have good pricing too. Everything you can ask for in an LED company.
And this is a good segue because they're a Nailed member as well.
Absolutely. They've been a Nailed member for a couple of years now.
Yeah, so they're a part of our association, NAILD.org, baby. We got a convention coming up in Reno, Nevada, but for right now, folks, check out Greg and Mike talking about the biases in the lighting industry. Hey, Greg, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, not much. Back at it here, new year. Ready to get it going again. How about you?
You know what? I'm so excited for 2019, bro. I think 2019 is the year of the true lighting badasses.
Yeah, I'm with you. We talked a little about that shakeout and getting the people who belong in lighting to stay in lighting and the people who don't to get the hell out.
Yeah, you know what? And we've had some pretty nice sponsors start to come towards us and we thank them. You know, I'm really grateful for Keystone and Kurtzon. And now we have some new sponsors coming on board and, the guys over at Lighthead Magazine, of course, Costa over at TED Magazine, really pushing our material out there and we're grateful to all the listeners. So thank you very much. But today we're going to get a little bit wild because over the Christmas break, I read a book about human nature. And I started ticking off biases that the lighting industry has been wrapped up in for a long time. And it's time for us as an industry, Greg, to start recognizing these biases and calling them out. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear more. We started talking a little, but let's hear what you got.
So the first thing I would say is the group bias. Okay. So all groups suffer from this, but the group bias is particularly reinforcing because the feeling of isolation is depressing and terrifying. And what happens is if you're out somewhere on your own and you have a message, oftentimes people will persecute you for that message. Okay. So the group bias becomes attractive because people want to go and be in part of singing a song together rather than a voice crying in the wilderness. Right. But what happens with the group bias is if the message is bad, it's hard for everyone to stop singing, right? So these ideas about LEDs last forever, these ideas of 5,000K for everything outdoor, all these things that are wrapped up in the LEDs is we're suffering from the group bias, Greg, where everyone's afraid to stand up and say, you know what? I got a lot of projects with issues with LEDs. Mm-hmm. You probably have tons of warranty issues.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, so you're saying that as a group, people are scared to stand up and change as a whole is what it comes down to.
Listen, LEDs are just like every other light source, except they use less energy and they last a little bit longer.
Yep.
They don't last that much longer than CFLs and fluorescents.
Right. Yeah, on this subject, to some degree, I do a meeting with our staff here, and we talk about predictions for the next year, what we're thinking is going to come. And I always look back and reflect on last year. And one of the things I said last year was, I think it's the industry is going to get realistic about life expectancy, But I think in the last year, meaning warranties and things, I think in the last year it's gotten worse.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And do you think that's because of, is that group bias or how
that's
does
group
that
bias.
come
Yeah, one
about?
person does a 10-year, adds 10-year warranty to the song. Then the other guy
Yep.
starts singing the same song. Then the next guy starts
Yep.
singing the same song. And then the hardcore guys like Kurtzon are like, okay, I'll sing the song, but only under realistic terms and conditions, right?
Yep.
And then, you know, everybody's out there singing this song, and now it's a 10-year warranty. And the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast looking at that going, psh, get out of here, buddy. No chance. You know, you can't fool me, son. I've been around,
right.
You know. So, and on the front lines of this game. So that's the group bias really has to, as an industry, we have to tell other people to shut up about stuff. Dude.
How do you stop the group bias?
Yeah, well, with what we're doing right now, we call it out.
Okay.
Become aware of it. Awareness is the first step. We need to change the song we're singing as an industry.
All right.
We need to change that, okay? The second one, I'm just going to flip. I'm just like looking at my notes from this book here. Conviction bias, right? So once you have a bias, like a conviction bias, LEDs are going to last forever, okay? So the group bias, the first thing we have to overcome is the conviction bias because people have so much conviction about the superiority of LED systems and how great everything is. And yes, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know what? We've made a lot of crappy light fixtures in the last 5 or 6 years. And we need to be realistic. We can't be succumbing to, you know, the convictions of 2014 when everybody was riding the wave and kind of believing the vibe and, you know, everything else. Because that leads to confirmation bias. So,
on the conviction,
yeah,
I want to jump in on that. Do you think it's gotten better? Do you think people are getting more realistic in terms of end users saying, I know now this is not going to last forever? Or do you think it's worse and people saying it's going to last forever? And I'm counting on it.
I think the industry is coming around to the fact and like sheepishly kind of acknowledging that maybe we're not, all those promises we made were a little bit bullshit, right?
Yeah. And I've been
There's
talking
like a
to
sheepishness.
A lot of customers. Yeah, a lot of customers that I talked to, including one today. He said, yeah, you know, we did these screw-in light bulbs and nobody reads what's on the box. And I said, what was on the box? He said, well, the last 20 years if they're on for an hour a day. I'm like, exactly, thank you. No, I don't need to tell you that. And his expectations are set. So I'm hoping more and more people get to that point. I don't think it's all there yet, but I agree there is a conviction bias still in that LEDs are going to last forever. I have customers tell me, hey, I'm doing this so that I don't have to touch another light bulb until I retire. When are you going to retire? 7 years. Sorry, bud. You're going to touch another light bulb.
Yeah, for know? Sure. Yeah, I can guarantee that, buddy. I can guarantee this. So the conviction bias, here's what's interesting about the conviction bias. Listen to this. You believe in the idea so hard that you're unwilling to examine the facts in front of you. Okay. You're susceptible to salesmen and demigods, right? And the whole thing is cloaked in half truths with dramatic effects. It's exactly what happens at Light Fair, right? Right? So they cloak, everything's cloaked in like this, yes, you have a 10-year warranty, except we back everything out of the warranty here on page 17. It's a half truth, right? So the customers, a lot of customers have gotten into bed with these snake oil salesmen that, yeah, bro, you never have to change a light bulb again, man. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. We got Jimmy's oil over here. It'll cure all your needs. That's right. You got limp dick. You got limp dick. You got a sore knee. You're going bald. Just take some of Sammy's oil and you'll be good to go, bro. That's what it is, man. And you know what? I never got into that. Thankfully, Lighting Solutions never got into that. Atlas Lighting never got into that. But a lot of people bought that message. I lost a lot of deals because I wasn't willing to say stuff like that. I don't know about you.
That's good. I think a lot of people aren't willing to do that, to stand up for it. And hopefully we get to that point where people start doing more of it this year and on.
So I still think the public is wrapped up in that conviction bias where they think that they've still, the message of super long life is still reverberating through them after it's kind of leaving us. And then of course, confirmation bias, you know, the finding the evidence that you want. reinforcing information that veering towards information that reinforces your belief. This time's going to be different. This time, we isolated the failure of the driver. It's actually the circuit number 61253 with the Nintendo Sega Genesis 64-bit, and then it came back, and it was the latitude inference on the right scale that failed. And this time, we fixed that, so now they're going to last forever. No, dude. Doesn't work that way, bro.
And I think that's, in terms of lighting as a whole, I totally agree with that. You look back at how systems were initially installed. Obviously, technology happens, and we all know that. But how many times have the lighting industry gone to a customer and said, hey, let's not worry about your lights again for a long time. We're going to do this. And then 2 years later, we come back and say, hey, remember those things we did? Now we can do this, and you should do this. And then 2 years later, we come back and do it again, and we do it again. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's something that it can be a problem in the industry. It is, end users think that, they keep having things that are going to last forever, and then we keep coming back with something new.
You know what, though? I would say this. The industry, so this industry, and I've been picking on it a little bit, but all the efficiency gains in the world right now for electricity, I would say a huge portion of them, when it comes to a conservation demand management side, I'm not talking about the generating side of electricity, but on the management side, the reduction side has come from lighting. The vast majority of the savings has come from lighting, and this industry's done a hell of a job, really getting using less energy. If that's the goal, we've done it. We came through in the clutch, but and when we go to clients, that we've had in the past, and we offer them something, it's always come with a really good, solid business case. So, for example, I go back to a customer. He's had his lighting system for 5 years. He has a T8 system, T8 high base. Hey, man, all we got to do is change those tubes out to a 12-watt LED. You have the same amount of light, and you get a rebate or whatever. So the value proposition is still there, which is why I love lighting. Or, hey, it's time to take out that fixture and put in a new one for whatever the particular. But it's legit. It's legit. Mm-hmm. I'm not out there making up fake value propositions for people. There's a real value proposition to switch from high efficiency fluorescent to LED. I haven't seen anything LED to LED yet. Have you?
A little bit, but it's more just that the LED's burned out. It's not really an energy efficiency push.
Yes. Yes.
It's that they need something to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they had LED, so put a new LED back in.
Yeah. So I see that as, something where, it's where you want to really, as an industry, we want to stay on that value play. And I'm all on board with that. I know you are as well. The superiority bias. That's the best one for the lighting. Well, you ever met the manufacturer's rep who came in and said, Greg, our LEDs are the shit ones. We have the ones that are going to fail. Right? We have the everyone else has a crappy factory in China except us. We got it all figured out for you, man. You never get that manufacturer's rep coming in with saying, hey, I'm just going to give you the lowest price. I have no idea how long these are going to last, but I'll give you a really low price if you want to buy them. Like, I'd actually appreciate that. I don't know
Some
about
honesty.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd actually appreciate that.
Because that's a reality of a lot of it. Is that a lot of it is the same, and pricing is what can differentiate it.
Yeah,
it's
no,
all
I know
that.
Yeah, there's some good companies out there that will back their warranties. We know that, but I mean, I've never seen the guy that isn't suffering from the superiority bias. Never seen it. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything we got is the good stuff. Yeah. Right. And it's like, come on, man. Yeah, no, the other guys are shit, and we're not. It's like, come on, dude, don't come in my office and tell me how everyone else is crap and you're the bomb. I don't like that. And that's all you say, another manufacturer, it's like, you deal with them. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? You don't know what the hell you're doing either. I mean, there are companies out there that know what's up. Don't get me the wrong way. I'm not saying that everyone's a doorknob, but I mean, come on, there's a lot of uncertainty out there with this technology right now, especially how much it changes, Greg.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say is the right move for a manufacturer? What kind of stance to avoid having the superiority bias?
I think Kurtzon is superior and has handled it best of everyone in the industry.
Just the way they state their warranties and things
right like that. Right on the front page of the website. Last time I checked, it's right at the bottom there. And you click on it, and it's very clear what it is. It's like, okay, you get 5 years on the component, lighting components, and 10 years on the housing, and then whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. That's how we roll. That's the they're handling it the best that I've seen. How would I like to see it? I think I'd like the manufacturers, everyone, to go back to 3 years on lamps. You know, and go
like
with
it was
five.
For fluorescent.
Yeah, yeah. Go similar. 3-5. Yeah. I think 3 and 5 is, you know, realistic with some outs if somebody's running 24/7, and if somebody's temperatures like high in the ceiling, stuff like that. You know, if they're at like a if it's a hot ceiling kind of place that reduces the warranty. You know what I mean? Things like that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you know, purpose built fixtures 5 years, replacement lamps 3 years. I think that's a realistic warranty.
Yeah.
You know,
so keeping it real,
that's keeping it real, man. Yeah, this industry has a very big ego that's about to get a pin prick right in it. That's going to take all the air out of it, man. Because, well, not that. I mean, I also think the shakeout is coming, so that'll be interesting to see. Have you gotten any kind of warning signs of the shakeout that we've talked about?
You know, a little, not anything personally from my side, but you know, I monitor what's going on in the marketplace and. You start to see just the companies that are going out of business are people that you can see that, okay, if they're going to go, then these next people, these guys are going to go as well. So it definitely makes a difference in who I buy from and who I partner with because I don't want to, I'm going to be here. I don't want to be stuck around with product that's not going to be here. Someone who's not going to back what they sold us because we're the ones that
tough.
Get stuck
with it. It's tough to make that choice simply because of the amount of consolidation in the industry.
Right.
You know, it's like, I remember when, I think it was Lightfair 2013 or 14 or something, we roll in, it looked like Philips bought the whole industry.
Yeah. They bought 30 companies or whatever it was at that time.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, everything was Philips. And then, you know, and then all those brands vanished, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like the ability to service the fixture, like everything just vanished, it seemed like to me. You'd call them up and you know, hey, this is just my anecdotal experience. You call them up and you're like, oh yeah, no, we don't have that anymore. And you can't get an answer, you know, about stuff or whatever, or placement component for, you know, X, Y, or Z. And it's like when you called them before that, when you called that customer, you're actually calling the company like, oh yeah, you need a replacement lens for our fixture. And, yeah, we got those and it's this price. And now it's like nothing. It's that business is gone. And that's sad, you know, because those businesses, a lot of them were really strong. I'm not going to say any names, but a lot of them are really strong, good lighting companies. Don't you agree?
Oh yeah. With a long history and things that mattered to us, but now it's just gone and different. And you know, the one thing that I think about a lot too, is just the, when you have to replace, when products burn out, especially we've talked about, you know, purpose-built LEDs that have a driver that's meant for that chipboard. To get those drivers now is next to impossible at times because you go to the manufacturer, maybe they're still in business, but they can't find that one and they cross it to something. And I've had it where I've sent it to a customer and I said, this one's supposed to work. And they get it and they say, it's 2 times bigger than what's in there now.
Oh, for sure.
It won't fit in the fixture.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't wire the same. I said, I don't know how to wire it. I'm sorry. You know, this is what they gave me, and it's going to be an issue more and more.
Well, this is where that JAGA compliance, I think, comes in, really should step in. You know, really, really should step in. Like, if somebody could spearhead that on the purpose-built side to just say, look, we got to make the form factors set so people can make replacement parts. It's not good for this industry to leave everybody with a bag of shit on the end user side.
Right. But on this subject, maybe this is the time and it kind of flies into it. Do we have a bias? I know you and I might, but does the industry have one that we need to be able to replace these parts in a fixture? And why I asked that, and I mentioned this to you the other day, I was at a gas station filling up my gas and I looked up and I was like, okay, there's 20 LED canopy lights. And I said, you know, they're going to be $300-$400 a piece easily to do that. And one was out. And I'm like, okay, so now how are they going to replace that one? You know, they look somewhat old. Maybe they're still under warranty. It could be from a company that's gone out of business. So is that gas station going to be fine paying $400 or $500 to get a fixture? And to me, I was at first, I was like, no way, they shouldn't have to do that. But then at the same time, I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe they do. Maybe it's just me thinking that you always need to be able to replace it and fix it. When we have our phones, right? Everybody has a cell phone. You got to buy a new one of these every 3 years. That costs more than that fixture. And that fixture is generating income for that business because it lights the gas tank. Not that it's that much profit in it, but what you need to see. So maybe it's just that bias is that we need people to understand that, yes, lighting is not going to last for everyone. You can't always replace a component. Sometimes you got to buy a brand new one. Is that an okay thing for the industry to do?
I think that's a fucking disaster, Greg.
Yeah.
Yep. Because now not only do they have to buy one, but they have to buy all 12. Because it's
To
going to look
match them.
different. Like,
But
this
that's where it's
is
headed, is it not? For some applications.
look, okay, there's two me's. There's the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast host, and then there's the owner of a lighting company host. The owner of the lighting company is going, perfect. Right?
All right. Yeah.
Perfect. Now we got you. But the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, and not that I feel glee about that. I don't actually feel that way. I kind of feel bad for the customers, to be honest with you, and I'll do my best to help them. But it's like, yeah, the manufacturers have built in a lot of business down the road with all these crappy LEDs they sold everybody, right? That are burning out all over the place. I put a parking I put a parking garage on my Instagram last week. Did you see it?
Yeah, I
Where
did. The
like the
little.
lights were all burned out in the thing, and I had lost that job. That was from 2015. I didn't get that job, and I remember seeing them install it because it's near my house. And now I'm thinking like, wow, that's a lot of parking lot lights there that are just starting to pop everywhere, and they're only 3 years old, bro. And it's like, your only solution, dude, is to like if he came to me, he might not come back to me. Probably should. I probably should give him a buzz right after the show, but
Yeah.
I'd say to him, look. Why don't we break your parking lot up into three or four chunks, and then we'll take down the ones that are still working in that area, and we'll replace the ones over there with those, and then we'll do this area here with all new fixtures that are probably going to last 3 to 5 years as well. So don't hold me to anything more than 3 years. You get the
There you
manufacturer's
go.
warranty, but that's how I'd handle it, right? But I mean, it's like you're looking at that. That guy probably spent $500 a light fixture. I mean.
Yeah.
And
Well, if
he's gonna
not
have to
more
do it
back then.
again? Yeah, dude, it's like,
Right.
that's gonna give the industry a bad name, man. Oh yeah. Like that's gonna be like people are gonna hate lighting. It's gonna be worse than ever. Oh, I'm doing this because I never have to change a light bulb again. Now I have to change a whole fixture
And they're going to be
every
mad at the
time.
people that, yeah, they're going to be mad at the people that sold it, but are they going to take that out on you for having to resell it to them? Maybe.
I don't take other people's garbage. Don't dump on me, buddy.
Yeah,
Business
right.
is business,
This is
son.
what it is.
Yeah, you dig your hole, you line it, bro. You dealt with a company that, hey, we've been in business for over 300,000 hours. Okay, you did business with a guy that's been in business for 16,000 hours or whatever at the time. That's your problem, Mr. Customer. If you had done business with us, those lights wouldn't even be burned out now. We'd already be in the process of fixing them and figuring something out for you or whatever. But you chose to use Johnny Come Lately because all the stuff that comes from China is the same, and all the company, everybody rips everybody off anyway. So I might as well just go with the lowest price because everybody on their paper roll says the same thing. It says the same thing here on this paper. This paper. I got some paper here, Greg.
What does
It
it
says 10-year warranty on it. Ooh,
Oh,
it's
great.
a paper here.
Yeah.
I got a
I'll hold on
paper.
to
Yeah, sure.
that.
There's nothing better than getting into a good lawsuit. It's so pathetic. You see these lawyers throwing paper at each other. It's like, get your paper out of here. Be a man of your word, bro. Be a man of your
I'm with you.
word, lighting industry. Come on. Get a grip. This is
Time
not,
to
this
shake
is,
out.
yeah, man. If you don't, like, listen. Customers, suppliers, everybody out there, be a man of your word. Make a deal on a handshake. Know that you're going to step up. And when the customers choose someone else, that's their problem, man. And if they want to come to me and complain about LEDs, guess what, bro? I got a lighting schedule here that outlines the price. Sign right there, and we'll get it fixed up for you, okay? You done bitching yet? Good. You know what I mean?
Move on.
Yeah, dude.
Yep.
So, I don't know where we're going, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah. No, that book does tie in nicely. What's the name of that book?
The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene. He's a genius, bro. You're reading the 48 Laws of Power. That's first. Then you got to read The Art of Seduction. Ooh, that's a good book, dude. Robert Greene's The Art of Seduction? Oh, baby. That guy's a, I would say, in terms of public intellectuals who are the smartest people in the world, Jordan Peterson is number one. And then he's followed by Nicholas Nassim Taleb and Robert Greene as a 2A and 2B. Those guys are so smart. It's not even funny. Nicholas Nassim Taleb has this set of books. He calls it Matt, can you look up Nicholas Nassim Taleb? It's called one's called Black Swan. The other one's called Anti-Fragile, Fooled by Randomness, and a bunch of other books where he talks about why the Wall Street crash happened. And this guy's a genius, dude. So anyway, we're way off lighting here, but Robert Greene's the thing about Robert Greene is that he's probably the most entertaining. Like, it's actually fun to read The Art of Seduction. He gives you the different strategy, and then he takes you on like a historical journey through somebody that used that strategy, and it's really cool. Uh-huh. So there's the Get a Grip on Lighting reading list for everybody. What is that Nicholas Nassim Taleb? He calls his book the Inserto. It's called The Inserto. My work is called The Inserto. But he's a genius. So Jordan Peterson, Nicholas Nassim Taleb, and Robert Greene. There's my favorite authors right there in terms of and public intellectuals. Folks, thanks for listening to the show. We're very grateful to all of you out there that have made this happen for us. Without you guys, without the listeners, without listening to this, and then the vendors really getting value, the people that sponsor this show, getting value from you guys listening. So thank you. And Greg, always a pleasure, buddy.
You too. Thanks.
HighlightLEDLighting.com, baby. That's HighlightLEDLighting.com, baby. HighlightLEDLighting.com. Greg, you know, it's another Nailed member stepping up to the plate, sponsoring the podcast. I think Nailed in the podcast got another level to go here, buddy.
We're keeping it going, that's for sure. We're after it. And, you know, having a company like Highlight sponsor us really shows where you can go with lighting. They're a company that's very innovative, have a lot of new product, and they're a lot of times the first to the market with this new product. So they bring it in, they show people what can be possible. Other people a lot of times copy it, but, you know, when they're the original of a lot of this stuff. And I think that's very important in LED lighting, is to be innovative, come out with new product that's going to help you sell more. And that's what Highlight does, as well as anybody in the industry.
You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the rep's name that was at the conference this year. Do you know it?
From Highlight?
Yeah.
Shalil?
Shalil? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we thank them for sponsoring the show. And you know, it's really good to hear of Nailed members that are leading the charge, especially some Nailed vendors. So thanks to Highlight LED Lighting. Well, of course, Nailed member, National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org. And guess who's on the cover of the TLD? It's Greg and Mike, the Nailed Rebels. Come on, man. So check out the TLD, an article about Greg and I. And of course, hey, Greg, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, bud. That's great. So, folks, thanks for listening. We're very grateful to you guys, everybody out there in the lighting world. Thank you, vendors. Thank you, sponsors. Thank you, listeners. Thanks, everybody. We hope we've enriched your life a little bit. Thanks for listening.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, the Lord is there to find you.